for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, August the 31st, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Pain, God's Alarm System.
Well, Sister Jerry McGee is going to come tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank God for sharing you with us.
Oh, thank God for letting me be shared. Not everybody wants me. But you know what? You know what? I have grieved over that. And recently, a precious man sent me an email called When Mourning is Unacceptable. And I realized that when God killed Aaron's sons, God would not let Aaron go and mourn for them, because the anointing was on him. And when I really saw, I should have known I was in sin. But when I saw that, I don't grieve anymore. And I just praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord. What a victory. What a deliverance. Deliverance is an ongoing thing. Let me encourage you too. I do this whenever all the speakers are speaking. I'm sitting there. I'm repenting. I'm breaking generational curses with every verse of scripture. Everything God shows me during the message, right then, I'm repenting, and I'm belching, burping, getting delivered the whole time. I have gotten so much deliverance at this camp. I don't know what I'm going to be different when I get home, but I'm excited. But this is the first time this ever happened, but the first thing I thought of when I woke up, your eyes are going to be healed. That's what I heard. So I believe that, and I'm going to see it. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, this message, I know what I want to tell you. Before, when all the speakers speak, anytime you're here at this camp, be repenting and you'll get goodness. You'll get delivered every second. The minute you repent, demons have to leave. James 4:7, give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. Amen? It's not that complicated. And I want to encourage some of you. Some of you are going to places where they have spiritual drunkenness, and you may get mad at me and never want to come back. But let me tell you, if you want to get loaded up with demons, go soak with those that are drunk in the spirit. So let me just warn you ahead of time. If you think you got a demon problem now, you just go to those places and you'll get filled up with them. So that's a warning. But be repenting and you'll get deliverance. Okay, praise the Lord. This message is on pain. I could call this Pain, God's Alarm System. You know, when you have pain, emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, and let me pray. Lord, I just ask you to download me from heaven. I pray that you'll so come on me that I won't even know what I'm saying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bring to my remembrance everything you've said. I commit my way to you, and you said you would establish my thoughts. So I give you praise. I just ask you to loose holy angels into this place. I just ask you to cover every person here with the blood of Jesus. I bind any demons that would twist the word of God, that would steal the word of God, in the name of Jesus. I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. I forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. In Jesus' name, bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. The title of this message is Pain. You know, so many times we go to the world for answers to our pain. And the answer to every problem you have is in the Word of God, not in the world. Because the world's just going to mess you up more. And so, and you know, pain is tied in with soul ties. If somebody, for example, when you're, say you're growing up and somebody punches you in the stomach, and you don't forgive them, you let the sun go down on your anger, 50 years later, you may be looking for a medical reason to pain in your stomach. And when you let the sun go down on your anger, you give a foothold to the enemy, and their hand is still stuck in your stomach, in a spirit realm, through a soul tie. I see more people heal through breaking soul ties and dealing with spiritual roots to things than any other thing. There's a spiritual root to everything you go through. There's a difference between a fiery dart, because they're going to fly, the Bible says, but we take up the shield of faith and we quench them. But if a curse lands on you, the Bible says a curse without a cause cannot lie. If one lights on you, or you're afflicted through whatever you're going through, God has got a lesson to teach you. There's something He wants you to see in everything you go through. And I thank the Lord that He taught me that principle, because deliverance is an ongoing thing. When I have a problem, I say, okay, Lord, show me what you're trying to teach me through this. I forgive. A lot of people are just mirroring things I've done myself. Like, for example, a family member might do something that irritates me, and I think, I can't believe they did that. Lord said, you did it too. You're just reaping back what you've sown. So it's just people mirror what God wants to fix in us. And pain just points you to the next thing He wants to deal with. And so I like to ask people, you know, when you want prayer, what is your biggest problem? Because that's the next thing that's got to go. And so healing and deliverance is like peeling an onion. And sanctification, you know, people call it deliverance. I think sanctification and deliverance, it takes a lifetime. Thank God that Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, that your sanctification has been complete, but now you've got to work it out. And God uses the problems in your life to show you what needs to be worked out next. And there's physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, mental pain, sexual pain. And I want to give you some examples of people I've seen healed, and Rod's given me permission. I want to share with about him first. Rod was addicted to methadone and other pain medications because he had been in a motorcycle wreck, and he thought the cause of his pain was the motorcycle wreck. They wanted to take his leg off, and Rod, if I don't say this right, you correct me. And he called, and after he told me his story, he was given away at birth, and he was adopted by a stepfather that put heavy burdens on him as a little boy. How many of you know that you can't see a burden, but you can feel it? And so he worked him like a workhorse. I mean, he was doing things that a little boy, 5 and 6 year olds, shouldn't have to be doing. Anyway, the load and the bitterness and the anger toward his stepfather, when he forgave his stepfather, and he broke soul ties with him, and we cut the burden off his back, the pain left, and he was instantly healed of methadone. Now, I see that happen, and plus other medications, and he's an absolute miracle. And I'll tell you this. I told him, I said, if you come to all the Lake Hamilton Bible camps, you won't know yourself next year. You'll change. Every time I go home, I get changed, and I want to keep changing. If you don't keep changing, you'll become senile. I'm serious. You want to have the mind of Christ, you've got to get rid of the mind of the beast. In every place, you know, even what they shared about the cruelty. Oh, my goodness. And then Brother shared about sons of Belial. Who's that? I'm thinking, that's a new one. I'll get rid of that group next. Amen. Anyway, and then I'll share my friend Velma. Velma had bone cancer in her back, and she discovered that she had 3 or 4 broken bones in her back. Without pain medicine, she couldn't breathe. So they gave her pain medicine, and so she knew these principles is to look in the Word of God for the answer to your prayer. So she started doing word studies on bones, pain, vexation. She began to do word studies, and her prescription ran out. She thought, you know, I don't think I need that pain medicine. When she died last May, She had broken bones in her back. She went blind in her eyes. She had a brain tumor. She had liver cancer, breast cancer, and she died pain-free. You see, she removed the... go to Ecclesiastes. I need to give you the scripture reference for this. And I like it. I've read it in the King James, but I like the translation in New American Standard better. It's easier to understand. But Ecclesiastes 11:10 says, "So remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body, for childhood and the prime of life is fleeting." Okay, so there's a promise there that when you get the vexation out of your heart, you can put pain out of your body. Okay, vexation means sorrow, sadness, grief, hurt. It means provocation, and it means idolatry. Now, why would it be idolatry? Because if something vexes me or something hurts me and I don't go to God, I turn to something else. So that's how it's idolatry. And so God says, if I remove that from my heart, that I'll put pain out of my body. Another example, and these two big examples really encouraged me in these times we're living in. If you get the vexation out of your heart, you don't have to suffer pain. But my son Todd, he went blind in one eye. He died of AIDS when he was 3 days past his 25th birthday. He was rotting. Pussy sores were, his arms were rotting. His testicle was about the size, testicles were about the size of a grapefruit. He had herpes lesions around his rectum. His feet were, he wore a size 10 and a half shoe. They went to 13 and a half. He weighed about 80 pounds. He was just emaciated. He had Kaposi sarcoma, which is cancer of the small blood vessels. He had AIDS, just to name a few things. He asked me about 2 or 3 weeks before he died. He didn't plan his funeral. He asked me, he said, "Mom, do you think I'll have to suffer when I die?" The lady from hospice said, "Homosexuals with AIDS die such a painful death that even with morphine, they have to be tied to the bed." And she said, "How is your son? How's he mentally?" She said, "They get brain rot, and how is he mentally?" I said, "He has never been thinking so straight in his whole life." And so I got morphine because I didn't want him to suffer. So the day before he died, I said, "Son, does anything hurt you?" He said, "No, Mom." He died pain-free, and he was rotting. But he was a person that was quick to forgive. He had a stepfather that was very mean to him, and he was laying in this hospital bed. His stepfather was standing in the door, and tears were running down his stepfather's face. And he said, "Bob, I love you." He had a loving heart. He had a forgiving heart, and he dealt with his vexation. He broke soul ties with every person he had sinned with. He got rid of everything that he had ever, anyone had ever given him. And he got his heart right with the Lord. And if you want to see his testimony, you can go on YouTube.com and look up Todd's Greatest Regret. It'll bless you. Another instance, a man who had been to hosted about 27 seminars of mine in the Austin area. He had come out of a homosexual lifestyle, and he said, he emailed me, him and his wife, and he said, "Do you have," and he had a son, and he was married, and had a godly wife, and he said, "I have an excruciating pain in my rectum. Do you have any insights?" And it just came to me. I said, "Yes, break soul ties with anyone you've had sex there with, especially anyone that's hurt you." Within 10 minutes, he emailed me back, and he said the minute he broke soul ties with a particular person, the pain instantly left. Remove vexation. You see, you may not feel like it's sin. You may be enjoying your sin. And you may think, "Well, this is not causing me any pain." But let me tell you, when you're in sin, any sin, there's vexation working in your life because it's idolatry. Another instance would be when I first started teaching seminars years ago, I thought it was from carrying these heavy bags on the plane. And I got to where I couldn't raise this arm any higher than right here. And if I'd have went to the world for answers, I'd still have an arm problem. I did a word study on arm of the flesh and realized I got into the arm of the flesh when my son was dying with AIDS with his stepfather. Another instance would be recently a girl called me, and she was 56 years old, and she had diarrhea just like her mother. Her mother was 80 years old, and when she was 80 years old, she would go to the bathroom all over herself. And so her daughter was doing the same thing at 56. She had lots of mother issues, lots of shame her mother put her through. Her mother did some things, many trying to help her, but it was interpreted to shame her. And when she forgave her mother and broke soul ties, she was delivered. And I didn't talk to her for about 3 months after that, but I talked to her last week, and I said to her, "Do you still have the diarrhea?" She was having to wear Depends to work as a sales lady at Saks in San Antonio. When she broke soul ties with her mother, she was instantly healed of that diarrhea. She said, "I haven't had diarrhea since." But you see, she had the same, through soul ties, you can get the familiar spirits, you can get the demons, you can get the mental problems, the sexual problems, the addictions of every person you have a soul tie with. That's why watching pornography is so dangerous, because Jesus said if you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery and you've bound yourself to a soul tie. If you watch pornography through soul ties, you have a pedophile spirit, you have a homosexual spirit, adultery, fornication, lust, and the Satanists make that pornography and they put curses on it. And if you've got that problem, Carla has a teaching here that is absolutely wonderful. You can get the CD on pornography. But through... Oh, it's online. You can listen for free. But through these soul ties, most of those people are captured by Satanists. They're drugged up. They're there against their will. And most of them are drug addicts. And let me tell you, if you're into that sin, if you don't repent, it will take you right to hell. It'll drag you down through the hooks and the curses that they put on it. There was a lady called me. She was a pastor of a church. And she said, "Do you have any insight?" I don't even know who she was. Over the phone, she said, "You know, I'm getting ready to have hip surgery. And do you have any insights?" And I said, it just came to me. I said, "Yes." I said, when you were a child, did you have to carry your brothers and sisters around on your hip?" And she said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Now you're a pastor and you're carrying everybody in church on your hip." You see, when a little kid has to be the mommy or the daddy and do mama's job, daddy's job, they miss their childhood. And they're bitter and angry because when a parent violates the law of God in training up a child, there is an automatic issue. There's an automatic anger issue. You may not even know you have it, and you might get your button pushed 50 years later. Why didn't it happen way back there? Because God doesn't deliver you from everything at once. You couldn't take it. And so when you get your button pushed, hey, it's attached to an idol someplace where you turned to a promise you made yourself that better not happen to you. And then guess what? It'll just set you up, because however you're trained up sets a default. And you're trying to break out of that default and you keep getting kicked back into it. If you grow up with controllers, it puts you in the midst of controllers. If you grow up with people that betray you, guess what? It sets you up for betrayal. If you grow up being rejected, it sets you up. The judgments you make on your parents set in motion forces that cause you to reap the same thing that you judged them for. And that'll never stop until you go back to square one and forgive your mother and father. Because God says, "Honor your mother and father that all may be well with you and your days will be long upon the earth." Well, it doesn't mean you support their drug habit. It doesn't mean that you have to fellowship with them if they're Satanist. But it means that you honor their position, and it means you forgive them by sundown for their poor stewardship. You know, I could have, in fact, I want you to do this. Stand up, if you will. And I want you to ask the Lord, where is your life not going well? Ask the Lord, Lord, where is my life not going well? And you can trace it back to letting your son go down on your anger and not honoring your mother and father. Not, and when I say honor, I mean honor means forgive them. And then sit down when you're through. Lord, I ask for revelation. I ask for the truth that sets them free. And just keep that in your mind. And when we pray in a minute, go ahead, take your time. Don't rush. Sorry. Now back to the lady preacher. Anyway, I said, and so now your pastor and you're carrying your congregation, because see, she was trained up to carry people on her hip. Do you see that default that was set? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it, till he takes accountability for the negative training, forgives his parents, and then God resets that default. Does that make sense? You know, a default on the computer is you can type a letter and use 300 different letter styles. But the minute you go into the second letter, it kicks it back to the way the factory set it. You were set at the factory by how you were trained up. And you swear, listen, I'm going to find somebody that loves me. You get kicked back into the default. You never can find anyone who loves you until you go back and you forgive. Or I'm not going to let anybody control me or tell me what to do. Well, guess what? It just sets you up for that until you go back, until you deal with it. Anyway, the lady preacher said to me, after I told her that, she said, you don't have to pray for me. I'm already healed. You see, it was the truth that set her free. There was a man that came to me that used to be a member of my church, and he was spitting up black stuff. And he said, and I don't know how we got on this, but we found out. I said, did you ever get hit in the stomach? And he said, yeah. He said, my brothers, they used to punch me in the stomach. And he said, in my arms, he said, they would hurt my arms. And he said, I'm a carpenter and I can't even hammer because it hurts so bad. So when I led him to forgive his brothers, and you know, little boys are always in a playground hitting each other in the stomach in the private parts. And so, anyway, he forgave his brothers, and his arms, the pain left his stomach and left his arms. I could tell you hundreds of stories like this. So much so that when somebody tells me I get excited if somebody says, pray for my pain. Because it's attached to a soul tie, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, to somebody that's hurt you. A lady in our prayer group, one day she said, Jerry, she said, I fell and hurt my face. And she said, do you know any roots to that? And I said, well, did anybody ever slap you in the face? And she said, no, I don't think so. And she said, but my daddy and mother shut the door in my face. So we let her, you know, to forgive them for that. And then she still had the pain. And I said, well, just begin to ask the Lord. So later on that night, Suzanne, who leads our prayer group, she said, and if you're in that area, come to Suzanne's prayer group in Tyler, Texas, second and fourth Tuesday. Anyway, so Suzanne Suzanne emailed me. She said after this lady got home, she remembered when she was in high school, somebody slapped her in the face. Now, she thought it was because she fell on her face. It was because their hand was still there through a soul tie. Some other stories. Lady in Chicago, in Michigan recently, she said, I just had surgery on my private parts. And she said, I have been in constant pain ever since. And I said, have you ever been into sexual sin? And she said, yes. And so I said, well, they're still up inside of you through a soul tie. So I let her, I said, you just, between you and the Lord, you repent of everyone you ever had sex with and tell me when you're through. I don't want to hear the details. So when she got through, she said, I'm through. So I led her to repent of fornication, adultery, and sexual sin, broke soul ties with every person she had sinned with, and the pain instantly left. Remove vexation, sorrow, grief, anger, hurt, provocation, idolatry from your heart, and put pain out of your body. So if there's pain in your body, there's vexation somewhere. So you need to find out why. You know, maybe if somebody ever hit you in the head or slapped you in the head or physically abused you, you could have pain in your head because you were physically abused as a child. Maybe your parents were too rough, too mean, too harsh. There was an African-American lady in Houston that Carla was there. This lady was bent over. She said, my whole body is racked with pain. I have pain in every part of my body. And she was bowed down like this. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that she had had a forefather in slavery that they had taken a bullwhip to and whipped. And when I led her to forgive the people that beat her forefathers, it was like this. And the next day she came and she said, I do not have one pain in my body. You see, if your parents don't deal with the vexation, it passes on to the children. African Americans, I've had them tell me they feel like their wrist hurt, and the Lord, or their ankles hurt. And I lead them in prayers to forgive people that had chained them or shackled them or hung them up or cut their hand. I mean, one instance was somebody that had cut a forefather's hand off, and the person now was feeling the pain. There was a lady that in Austin I prayed for that was addicted to pain medicine, real strong pain medicine, because she'd been in a car wreck. And I said, were you mad at who hit you? And she said, yes, I was really mad. And so she was mad at the treatment they gave her in the hospital. And when she forgave the people that hit her in the wreck, and when she forgave the people in the hospital, broke soul ties, and she was instantly delivered from pain medication. And I mean, she was taking really strong medication. At one seminar, there was about 12 ladies that had been whipped with boards. One lady with boards, and others had just been whipped by their daddies. And they had pain in their behind that manifested at that seminar. There was at least 12 ladies. And when I led them to forgive their daddies, the pain left their behind. There was a big old University of Texas African-American, good-looking guy. He had his hair plaited in these little plaits and beautiful white teeth, and he was a great big lineman for the University of Texas. He said, I have headaches. I said, well, you've been using your head for a weapon. And he said, that makes sense. So I led him to break soul ties with every person that he had ever hit and played football against. And his headache was healed. I said, you know what? If you want to get, if you're going to play football, you better break soul ties with everyone you play with. I'm thinking of another teenage boy that had back problems. He played football. And he was at a seminar in Lindale. And he said, I have back problems. I said, you play football? He said, yeah, I play football. I said, well, how do you feel about your players that you play football against? And his mother stepped up and said he's mad at every one of them. Broke soul ties and his back was healed. I mean, this is just a few things that I could remember of stories that I've seen people healed. But if you've got pain in your body, you need to find out where the vexation is. And hopefully this message, God's going to help us get to some spiritual roots to things. And so pain is God's alarm system. And I can say, even if something, you're not feeling pain, but something's bothering you about somebody. That we all get bothered about people, don't we? Well, why am I bothered? Because I need my conscience clear about something. So ask the Lord, why does that bother me? And then get it out of your heart. Find the lesson. And I'm not going to go through all of these, but God made a provision for us at Calvary to be healed. God heals it if we meet His conditions, which is to remove vexation from our heart, and then we can put pain out of our body. God's made provision for us at Calvary. If you want to go to Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says, "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows," which means pain, "and acquainted with grief," which was sickness, "and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs, our sickness, he himself bore, and our sorrows, our pain, he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." The New Testament confirms this Old Testament verse in 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin," number one, "live to righteousness," number two, "and then by his wounds you were healed." You see, when there's pain, we have to die to sin and live to righteousness. And I can say that with healing. Demons are behind sickness. Sickness is a curse. Deuteronomy 28 says sickness is a curse. I don't know why Christians think, and they don't, that escapes people's mind. If it's a curse, and Proverbs 26:2 says, "A curse without a cause cannot light." It's kind of like, you know, you hear about doorways, but I like to say it's like a house, and you're a spiritual house with windows open. Well, when a window is open, bugs fly in, right? Varmints and everything else can fly in. And so if something's getting through to you, you need to find out how to shut that window by asking the Lord, "What are you trying to show me?" And then deal with it and then close that off. And demons are at the root of sickness. The blessings of God are carried out by holy angels. "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who watches over his word to perform it." Are not the angels ministering spirits sent to help and care for those who are to receive his salvation? And so demons at the root of sickness. If sickness is a curse, then demons are behind the sickness, and a curse without a cause cannot light, and you can't medicate a demon. You go to the world and you get it cut out, shifted around, moved around, you get yourself medicated, and you end up being worse off than you started. Matthew 8:16-17 says, "And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases.'" Let God be true and let every man be a liar. His word, he sent his word to heal you. He pardons your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Unless he wants to take you home. And if he does, why do you want to hang around here? And why are you on the phone trying to find some man that can fix you when you're indestructible until God wants you? You cannot, write this down, you cannot die till God is ready for you to die. You can be tortured to death through the world, like the woman who had the was bent over for how many years because of a demon. And Jesus said, "This day you'll be freed from your sickness." So if you'll notice in 1 Peter, healing is conditional. Die to sin, live to righteousness, and by his stripes you're healed. You know, it makes people mad if they think that you think that they got sickness because of a demon. Can I tell you this eye thing is demonic? Can I tell you the skin cancer that I've had on my nose, that's demonic? It's demonic. And the reason you can see it is because I went to the doctor and he cut it out and put 8 stitches and a little thing about the size of a top of a straight pin. If I'd have left well enough alone, I'd still had a little straight pin place. But you know what? They put fear on you. Your nose is going to get eaten off. They put fear on you. And we run to the world because people are afraid to die. Listen, with this world the way it's going, if God told me, if they're going to tell me they're going to take me tomorrow, hey, listen, I don't have to face Obamacare. So why do I want to try to, and I'm not trying to glorify myself, okay? But Jesus died to deliver you from the fear of death that has subjected you to slavery your whole life. The fear of death subjects you to slavery. Not only physical death, but fear of denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following the Lord. That's dying to the flesh. That's dying. And so, and this is not to say that they're not wonderful, beautiful people that die saying their trust in the Lord to heal them. But God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And I love that the revelation was when they read, I think several of the speakers have, I know Sharon quoted Hosea 4:6, that says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And the last part, I never had heard before. I mean, I'd heard it, but it didn't ring a bell. But it says, if you reject knowledge, you perish for the lack of knowledge because somebody tries to tell you the truth and you won't listen.
Right. Amen.
And then God says, I'm going to reject you. Could that be why we feel rejected all the time? Because we're rejecting truth? It could be. That was a revelation to me. And God says, I'm going to reject you if you reject the truth of my word. And what? And your children. Absolutely. Yes. And I loved this message on an inheritance. At one of my seminars, a girl I was praying for, and she said, I see this house, and it's dark, and the Holy Spirit, and I'd never heard this before, wicked inheritance. And I led her to forgive them for the wicked inheritance, and she was instantly delivered. Hallelujah. So all of us have a wicked inheritance. This thing of cruelty is tied in with the Philistine spirit. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But that's Philistines, they writhe in pain, right? And anyway, so with but and you know, it grieves my heart because I know people that are physically suffering, and I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I know a few things. And what I know. But it grieves me because I know the answer to their problem and they're running to the world for answers. And one precious lady has had, I don't even want to say it. They did surgery to make her better and she's still limping. Absolutely. And Sharon's a nurse, so I'm not... But, the saints, we have the great physician. Now, the world needs a good Samaritan. They're already owned by the devil, but we're owned by Jesus. He's the great physician. And it grieves my heart. And, you know, believe it or not, I'm learning just to be quiet around those people because they don't receive. You know who receives? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus said he didn't come for the church members. He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've had more puppy customers that have bought puppies from me that they still email me and they come to the Lord. They're the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've been doing this for 14 years and I've never had a puppy customer reject the gospel. And I always pray, Lord, I ask you to send me people that you want me to tell about you. I pray you send me people that are ripe for the harvest. And he does. Hallelujah. Okay, go to Jeremiah chapter 8. And it's God be glorified. God be glorified. Chapter 8. I'm going to read a lot from this. And I will praise the Lord because there was a time that with my glasses, I could not read the Bible up here without the little lamp. So there is improvement.
Yeah.
Amen. And you shall say to them, in verse 4, thus says the Lord, do men fall and not get up again? Does one turn away and not repent? Why then has this people, Jerusalem, that's the church, turned away in continual apostasy. That's falling away from what you have held to. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. They're stubborn. They won't repent. I have listened and heard. They have spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course. Like a horse charging into the battle. Even the stork in the sky knows her seasons and the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration, but my people do not know the ordinances of the Lord. And this is why. How can you say we're wise and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The word of God has been so watered down that people don't hold to the word of God anymore. There's so much mixture out there. Not that we know all the truth. I don't claim that. I am stumbling around to find the truth. And I've made lots of mistakes. And like, who was it? Merle? I think it was Merle that said he didn't ever learn anything from anything but failure is the only way he'd ever learn anything. Have you ever learned anything from your victories? Nothing. There's a price to pay for God's anointing. Amen? And the narrow way I'm discovering gets more narrow and more narrow. And I think it's single file. It says, how can you say we're wise and the law of the Lord is with us, but behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others, their fields to new owners. Now, the Bible says we're a building, we're a house, we're a field. You know, the land's field, but you're also a field. You're a spiritual garden to others. From the least even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain, from the prophet even to the priest. Everyone practices deceit, double-minded, and they heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, the world's worldly methods, saying, peace, peace, but there's no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abominations they had done? They certainly were not ashamed, and they did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they shall be brought down, declares the Lord. It says they don't even blush. There's people that when they're in the sin, it's like they wipe their mouth and say, I haven't done nothing wrong. That's what the Bible says a harlot does, an adulteress. Instead of taking accountability for sin, they'll transfer the blame over to you. And if you grew up always being blamed like I was, you always get the blame. And I'm not bitter about that at all. I'm really not. I've worked through all of those things. Not that there will be more things to work through, but I'm not bitter about it. I'm thankful that my daddy was hard on me because it made me want to do more right. And the Bible says to strict your judgment on a teacher. You know, I couldn't get by with nothing. I did get by with a lot of stuff, but I'm saying compared to my sisters. I mean, my daddy critiqued me down to my fingernail polish. They could have robbed a bank and he wouldn't have said anything. I mean, that's right. But my fingernail polish, you look like a Jezebel. Get that. But I'm thankful for that. I told him one day, he said, Jerry, I'm sorry I'm just kind of hard on you. I said, Daddy, you know what I finally realized? It's because you love me the most. And he said, Jerry, I'm glad you see it that way. But you know how I can say that? Because it says if your conscience is clear, which means faith. It means faith and trust in God, and it means freedom of speech. If your conscience is clear, if you have faith and trust in God, you have freedom of speech. If your conscience is clear, you have confidence in God, which means faith and trust in God, but it means freedom of speech. He had freedom of speech with me, and he didn't have it with my sisters. Because he knew I'd forgive him. Okay, it says, were they ashamed? Already read that. Verse 13, I will surely snatch them away, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine and no figs on the fig tree, no fruit. Jesus said he came for us that we might bear fruit. He said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you that you might go and bear fruit. and the leaves shall wither, and what I have given them shall pass away. Why are we sitting still? Assemble yourselves, and let us go into the fortified cities, and let us perish there, because the Lord our God has doomed us and given us poisoned water to drink. There's bitterness. We waited for peace, but no good came. For a time of healing, but behold, terror. From Dan is heard the snorting of his horses. Now, I don't understand all of that. Maybe you do. At the sound of the neighing of his stallions, the whole land quakes, for they come and devour the land and its fullness, the city and its inhabitants. For behold, I'm sending serpents against you, adders for which there is no charm, and they will bite you, declares the Lord. My sorrow is beyond healing. My heart is faint within me. Behold, listen the cry of the daughter of my people from a distant land. Is the Lord not in Zion or in the church? Is her king not within her? Jesus, why have they provoked me with their graven images, with foreign idols? Harvest is past, and summer is ending, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn, dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is Jesus the physician not there? Why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been restored? Because of the lying pen of the scribes. Working out a different doctrine, something else. Less than 0.5% of church members believe in divine healing. Okay, it says in Proverbs 14:18, the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man acts with knowledge. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Proverbs 14:15, the prudent man considers his steps. Proverbs 18:15 says, the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs 22:3, the prudent seek the evil and hide themselves. Proverbs 27:12, a prudent man sees evil and hides himself. The naive proceed and pay the penalty. 3 John says, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. God wants you to have a prospering soul. So your prosperity and your health will be in proportion to a prospering soul. And I think Sharon said it, you're not going to get a prospering soul looking at Christian TV. You get a prospering soul by digging in this word for the gold. When it says, buy from me gold refined by fire and white raiment to clothe yourself. And I believe that that's the sacrifice. You buy it through denying yourself and taking up your cross and following him. So the more excellent way is to go to the great physician. Healing will come as we align ourselves with the word. I know that as I keep on aligning myself with the word of God, my eyes will be totally healed. And I'm thankful for all that God has taught me through digging in the Word for the answer.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.